Welcome to the daily VFN radio program highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, Howard Pittman wrote his book, The Placebo Gospel. You know, and I don't know how much time we have, right, coming to this. I want to share this. You got a moment? Can I share this with you?
Yeah.
Howard Pittman, he wrote this book, and we want to share with you, you know, things that we've experienced so that you can just hear it. I can just download it to you right now, and you can hear it. So you can read it. It's Howard Pittman's Placebo Gospel. And in this, he was a sheriff. He was an officer, and he just started a ministry, pastoring a church for about maybe 2 or 3 years. You know, these are all variations. The exactness of these things, and that he decided that he felt like he was supposed to run for sheriff. You know, and so he's serving God. He's pastoring a church, John, a traditional church. It's a building. He's showing up. He's pastoring it, and so. He feels like, you know, this is what I'm doing for God, you know, and then he feels supposed to run for sheriff as well. So he's out running to a particular supporter, and he's going to stop by their house because they're going to give him support for his office or something. And then all of a sudden, he has a heart attack. I think about the James 4:15. Somebody says, "What time is it?" We always go, "It's always 4:15," which means my plans are subject to change anytime God wants them to. He says a man should always say, if it's in God's will, this is what I'll do. And what happened was Howard Pittman had a heart attack. And next thing, he's on the operating table, and he leaves his body, and he dies on the operating table. And he goes, an angel comes and escorts him to heaven. And he's literally watching this whole transaction of people that have been saved, that have died, that are going to the throne room of God. And he looks over at a certain number of people, and it's just like maybe 100 people or so that are going to the throne room of God. And he goes, "What are those people over there?" And the angel goes, "These are people that were saved." He goes, "That's wonderful." And he goes, "No." He says something like 2,700 just died.
Wow.
You know, and the numbers, I'm pulling the numbers, you know, and you can verify this with the book, the exact numbers, but it was just a horrendous difference of those who, and you understand, they died too, but they did not go to heaven, they went to hell. Mm-hmm. And so it was just rocking his paradigms, you know, and he's like, and he says, "So can I go with them to go to the throne room?" And the angels tell him, no, not for that. And so he brings them to a throne room outside of a doorway of God's throne room, if you would, like just a doorway kind of thing. And he is standing to the side. The angel kind of put him to the side. He didn't see God. And he knows, he feels like he's about to see God. He's going to talk to God. And so he has this whole list. He's literally got a paper list that he's writing or wrote. And he's going to explain to God. He's going to explain to God why he needs the run for sheriff. It's like, dude, you're in heaven, man. Why would you want to go back and run for sheriff? Come on. And he's got this whole list of explaining to God why he feels he needs to go back to be able to do what he feels he's called to do. I mean, you're God telling God what God's called you to do, right? That's something. And so all of a sudden, as he's tucked away, hidden behind this door threshold thing, and, you know, he can't see God. He just knows God's behind that thing. And all of a sudden, imagine every single storm you ever heard at the very same time, just like, just imagine this huge, huge sound. And it was the voice of God. And he says in his book, he's writing this, he says, "And I dropped my list." What happened was that he realized that he had totally done it all wrong. He had done it all wrong. Even though he was a minister, even though he was a preacher, even though he had a church, he was all wrong. And he realized at some point, and so he heard this big sternness of God's voice that came out that just totally crushed him in the concepts of all of his ideas and concepts. And as he began to humble himself, And then the other kindness part of God began to relate to him and comfort him. So it had the kindness and the sternness of a father. And it just whole encounter and his whole paradigm just instantly just shook. And all this religion is thrown out. And let me tell you right now, if you're listening and you're all caught up in the religion, just walk away from religion. Listen, you could be standing there like Howard was, and with all this religion in your pocket, and have to drop it down, and it meant nothing to God, you know. And it's about doing what God says to do in the right way. And so he realizes that when God, he comes back into his body, you know, I'm actually moving this quickly, but it's Howard Pittman's book, the Placebo Gospel. And a placebo, let me explain what a placebo is for those that might not know what a placebo is. If they're going to have a new medication, they're going to try it out, and they're going to see if it works or not. They'll take 10 subjects, for example, or say 100 subjects, and 50 of them they will give the new medication to, and 50 of them they'll give like a sugar pill to, something that's nothing, and it's called the placebo. And then they'll measure the results of what happens to these individuals. And, of course, the placebo is nothing. But they're trying to find out, if I give them the medicine, the other 50 the medicine, will they be any different than the people who had the placebo? And they can measure that way whether this medicine works or not. And sometimes they find out that the placebo has some things that take place, but it doesn't do the job, you know. And the book's called The Placebo Gospel. And there's a gospel being preached that it's a placebo gospel. There's nothing there. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing there. And it's been done so well, and it looks like the pill, and it sounds like the pill of the gospel, but it's not the right one, because there's no doing involved in the aspect of it. You know, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. And so Jesus called them to himself, then he sent them out from him. And then he said, go and do likewise. And so, you know, with that, he makes it back, you know, to his body, and he's so sorrowful for all of his life to that point. And he basically, I believe he reasoned with the Lord of saying that, if you just give me a little bit more time, I'll make this right. And so he goes back, when he comes back to his body, he spends the rest of his life traveling the world, telling everybody about the true Jesus, the true God, the kindness and the sternness of God, that it's not some religious whatever. It's not trying to please men. It's pleasing God, that it's an intimate relationship. Truly, there's an intimate relationship with the creator of the universe. You know, this is the reason why we call him holy and righteous and mighty, and that, you know, understanding that, and that he preached this all over the world, and so many people had come to know God. He left all that religion behind, and he got it, and God gave him mercy to come back to do things right. And so I just want to encourage you that repentance, when we were talking about that in the first hour, and we're talking about it even in this extra hour today, that understanding this journey is that you got to change everything. You got to change everything, and you got to want to do it. And understanding that you want to do it is because you want to be with Jesus. You find out he loves you. You know, it was real tough when he heard the sternness of God, but he melted when the kindness of God began to comfort him. You know, for example, if you have a child that you have to spank, that child is the last thing you want to do, or discipline that child. But after you finish disciplining them, then you comfort them, and it helps the child understand what's really going on. You know, and that's what God was doing to him, the kindness and the sternness of God. And so in that, he talks about the statistics of Jesus. You know, you study the statistics of Jesus and the message that he preached, because you think about it, that was Jesus was by himself when he first started. You know, the Father was with him. And then he progressively was with 12, correct?
Right.
And he trained these 12 up. He related to these 12. He spent time with these 12. And he just walked day-to-day life with them. And then he sent them out like sheep amongst wolves, mind you. That's dangerous out there. Yep, wolves. Eh? It's like wolves. And so then he sends them out, and then they come back to him, and they report about what they have done. You know what I'm saying? What happened, you know? And then he goes from the 12, and then he goes to 72, and he sends the 72 out after being with them. And then at the end, when he is with the Father, and he says, I want you to go and tarry, there was 120 in the upper room. Think about it. 120 was in the upper room at that point. I mean, thousands of people were interested in Jesus. People were receiving from Jesus. People were getting healed and people getting delivered and people getting fed that were hungry. But when Jesus turns around, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Everybody except the disciples started leaving. These are people that he healed, that he delivered, that he provided for. He's so loving and he's so kind. But it boils down, you got to know him. You got to know this Jesus, you know, and he loves you. But you can't, it's, don't buy into religion. There's religion. You can have religion. There's so much religion all over the world. And what's happening right now, religion is coming to a crescendo across the earth. And you're going to see religious battles go on. But you understand that it's not about religion with Jesus. It's about a relationship. And it's about a family. You know, God, the Father God wanted a family, so he sowed a son. And families have fathers and mothers, and we're sisters and brothers, and we're supposed to lay down our life for each other and live our life together. And people are supposed to fear coming amongst our number, and there should be a difference. You know, there's one thing we have about, you know, talking about some of our gatherings, that we see people that come in with wrong tensions, wrong motives to come amongst us. But we don't have to worry about that because we see what God does. I mean, we literally had somebody that came and they were coming with wrong intentions to be able to harm somebody that was in one of the gatherings. And just like you read in the book of Acts, that all of a sudden they began to choke. They began to get, and for literally for almost, four, they had to leave. They literally just left. They could not stay in the presence of God. And the only thing the church was doing was just raising their hand and worshiping God and just, nothing, no hype or nothing, but God's presence was so strong that God dealt with whatever he needed to deal. He knew the motives of people's hearts. And that person today, we understand now, is serving the Lord. Is that not awesome?
Wow, totally awesome.
Totally amazing. Awesome. I think about another situation. This is how the church is supposed, this is how the fullness of how we're supposed to be. I mean, you read the book of Acts, it's not a history book, it's an operation manual. But we're sitting, we're at a gathering, a VFM family gathering, and we're eating. We always eat when we come together. I mean, just like you read in the Word. And so a particular visitor comes that particular day, maybe a couple of visitors, I don't know. But this one was actually a leader in a kind of a traditional church setting. He's actually over the young people. He was over the young people. He said he was over the young people in that particular church. And so church gathering. And so he begins to tell us, and we're just eating and loving on him and all the different things. Everybody's having a great time, and we begin to worship God. And he actually even tells us that we're doing that wrong. Remember that? And so, you know, you don't have to impress anybody. Listen, when you're in the church, you don't care what people say. You know, it really doesn't, you know, you love them, but you're not defining yourself. He's like, really? Because if you walk with God, and you see him in your life, and you know that he's real, and you know that you abide with him on a daily basis or spend time with him, you know, on a regular basis, that you're not concerned about all the other stuff. And so he immediately goes from explaining to us and, you know, how worship was supposed to be done, and God's presence just enveloped the place. It totally just enveloped the place. And we're just, you know, just worshiping God, you know, and he begins to cry out and just weep and just cries out in front of all of us, and tears start pouring down his face. This is the one that was telling us, the person who's over the youth at a particular, and he starts crying. He says, "I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I have sinned." Is this not right? Did that?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a sinner, and they begin to cry out, and immediately there was a couple of men there that walked over with him. Where everybody continued to worship, and they actually led him to a place of repentance and forgiveness. And his whole life, he was just totally freed. In that one moment. Let me tell you something. Listen, there's a lot of religion going on, but not a lot of relationship. God wants you in a relationship. But really, it's because repentance is, like I said, you have to want to do it. But when you understand God's not religious, that he's relational, and things like this, you know, this is pretty cool when you find out that all this stuff really happens, and people that are sick get healed, and people who are bound are delivered, and, there's one of the situations going on. I want to talk about this. You know, talking about VFN TV. You know, you can actually subscribe for free to VFN TV. You have access to it. There's a few things that you can get right now on your app or at VFNTV.com, but you're a free subscriber. You have access to everything. But one of the particular things that you'll find in VFN TV teaching is called Deliver Us from the Evil One. I mean, you think about it. You know, Jesus tells us how to pray. He says, teach us how to pray. And he's talking to the disciples, and he says, you know, of course, the Lord's Prayer that we talk about at the end of the Lord's Prayer, he tells us to ask God to deliver us from the evil one. So he asks us to ask God to deliver us from the evil one. And so and we talk about empty houses and open doors, and you can get that if you want to subscribe to VFNTV.com. But the anointing of God, this teaching was going forth through VFNTV broadcasting around the world, America at that time. And in one part of that, when I'm talking about, come out, to speak into the demonic. And I remember we were actually in a meeting, and somebody and you just grabbed somebody off the street and just brought them in without even considering the church, the sheep, and just brought in this whole bad situation into the church, which is in a whole another we didn't talk about in the future, is that they didn't want to be there, and they were carrying the things in the world on them, and that doesn't clash well when you have the presence of God there. So one particular man, he was actually fell asleep in the middle of the teaching on VFN TV. And everybody that's there is actually listening to what's going on, what's happening as this word's coming forth. And all of a sudden, right there in the middle of that, when this guy's laying on his right arm, he's spread out in front of the church. And is this true?
Yes.
And he's all spread out, he's sleeping in front of everybody. All of a sudden, I point at that, out of that television, I'm pointing at the cameras. I'm so anointed what God is doing. He does this in his church everywhere. But we're telling you what's happening at the event. And I just say, come out of him in Jesus' name. And immediately he went from a dead sleep. He shot, set straight up, and that demon left that man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Sure did.
Yeah, I remember that the particular lady that was sitting right beside her hair shot straight up on her arm and she slid across the room. That understanding that this is this, you understand, listen, you don't need fictitious things. You don't need bungee jumping. You just need Jesus. There's nothing more adventurous than to live for God and what's taking place. This is an adventure and all the things happen. There's people that are religious that just love, for some reason, they like being religious, but they don't want to follow God's ways. So it's just real weird. You got those things going on, but you have in the core of that, you have people who actually want to follow God. They love Jesus and they want to walk with him. And Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction. And many go that way, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and few that find it. You know, and so you think about that you'll want to walk with a God that when you read about him and you experience him, that everything he says he is, then you want to have that authentic, genuine relationship with him. There is just nothing like it. You know, I was talking about, just out of the middle of nowhere, you know, I'm sitting here talking about Howard Pittman's book, Placebo. You know, I call it the Placebo Gospel, but the name of his book, I just want a little more details here so you can know, because I started naming numbers, but I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't pull these numbers out. It's called Placebo by Howard Pittman, the book, because I'm talking about, you know, I was talking about the other day about when he was running for sheriff, and he was a minister at a local church, probably about 5 years, actually. Mm-hmm. And but he found out, long story short, and you can find out more by going to the highlights about it, right?
Right.
What's the highlights? What's the highlights?
It's on the mobile app.
On the mobile app. And it's probably called Placebo Gospel, mm-hmm. over the name of the highlight.
Right.
And but with that, you know, he finds out, oh, I thought I was right, but I was wrong. I was very wrong.
Very
but he
wrong.
Also found out, after God explained this to him with a thundering voice, that God is merciful and kind and forgiving. And but with that, remember, he was in heaven, and when he was there in heaven, because he had a heart attack, and he was on the operating table, and he died on the operating table, and he went to heaven. An angel carried him to heaven. He's looking over there at these people that are going towards the throne room, and he knew where the throne room was in heaven. He wasn't in the throne room, but he knew these people were going to the throne room. And he saw about 50 people that were headed towards the throne room. They were being escorted by angels, and he asked the angel that's with him, he said, you know, who are those people? And he says, these are saints. These are ones that are actually gave their hearts to God. And he mm-hmm. goes, oh, that's exciting. He was so excited about that, you know. And he says, this crazy. And he said, oh, nobody was excited in heaven. They were pretty sad. And he said, well, you know, basically inquired of why. And he said, because 2,000 people just died. Mm. 2,000 people just died. That means 1,950 people didn't go to heaven. That they went straight to hell, and only 50 made it. Mm. And just, I mean, you can find out about Placebo Gospel, you know, to find out more about you know, what I shared on that. But it's so important to understand that, you know, deception is this. Deception is when you think what you're doing is right, but you're wrong. And you can write books on why you're right, but you're wrong. You can actually form religion. We're going to talk about that a little bit about, you know, some God's news behind the news is that that's what's so scary about deception. You know, we always have our only hope for deception is humility. We got to know that God is our only hope. And humility is defined as total dependency on God and respect for other people.
That's right.
You know, and you gotta obey God over anybody and be open for God's correction. And sometimes, you know, he says, kill the lad. And in the middle of saying, we're going to kill this lad, you know, like Abraham. And so he prints up brochures and he has commercials and he puts up yard signs and he gets up Facebook and all these different things, whatever it is. He's like, we're going to kill the lad. You know, he tells everybody. And then he finally gets to the top of the mountain, Mount Moriah. And then God says what?
Don't kill him.
And of course, most of America, many people in America in ministry would go, don't you understand, God, what this is going to do? Because they have a fear of man.
Right.
I mean, they're not understanding. This had nothing to do with man. It had to do with Abraham and God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everything that's going on in your life has to do between you and God. When we start putting other people in there and trying to please men, we're not pleasing God. I like what John Bevere says in his book, The Fear of the Lord. Brace yourself if you want to read it.
It
will give you perspective. You know, we always think that Saul, you know, we would have thought Saul was an obedient man, but mm-hmm. he was 10% disobedient, and God just regretted the day that he ever made him king.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Thank God for Jesus. And so then, you know, understanding deception is that our only hope is Jesus Christ, is to humble ourselves and be ready, you know, to respond to God. And he will ask you to do things to see if you will do them. And once you do them, no matter what anybody says, then he'll see that you fear him and not man. And that's what he wants. He told Abraham when he did that, he says, now I see you fear me. Now I'll give you what I was like, now? What do you mean now? Oh, my goodness. Now I have to eat crow, and I'm talking to all these people.
Right.
Like, well, I know I was going to take him out, but, you know, I decided to go ahead and keep him. And so here's the lad. You know, mm-hmm. this is the lad ministry. And so John Bevere says this in his book, The Fear of the Lord. He says, you know, you serve what you fear. If you fear man, you serve man. And let me tell you something. Men demand to be feared. You know what I'm saying? But people don't always get what they demand, right?
Right.
It's amazing. Are you serious? Are you serious? Anyway, so he said, you know, he says, you serve what you fear. If you fear man, you serve man. If you fear God, you serve God.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot fear man and serve God because you serve what you fear. Let me tell you right now, many of you right now that are listening, this very moment, you have a fear of man in your life. And God has called you. He's called you to be activated. He's called you to be trained up and launched into the harvest field. And you will answer alone, by the way. All these men that you fear will not be standing beside you when you stand before the throne room of God. You will stand alone, just like Howard Pittman did. He writes about it in the book Placebo. And so listen, shake all that off. Fear not man, fear God. Don't fear the one that can destroy only your body. Fear the one who can destroy both your soul, your body, and your spirit in hell. So understand this, that many people are held captive by fear. I mean, they say they're not afraid. I like what one particular man had on his desk as a minister. He goes, I'm not scared. I'm not scared. And the truth is, I mean, check it out. You find out, you know, because you'll be tested in this. Because when you start following God and you fear God, you know, people will begin to be stirred. Sometimes I believe it's just God orchestrating it to check you. You know, are you really going to follow me over them? You know, and sometimes it's outright people being used by the adversary to take you down.
That's right.
I like Joyce Meyer, she says, God will often use things out of control to bring you in control.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
Oh, yeah. That's something.
Lord, I hope I'm in control. Lord, 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 Lord. So that was so sad. So find out more about that at the highlights on the VFN TV app. And soon it'll be at VFNTV.com about the placebo, the book Placebo. And you get it. I know that Mike Bickle carries this in his books on maybe online. Mm-hmm. You probably can get it at Amazon.com. I remember. I can't remember if it's available there. Probably not. But you probably can get it from IHOP.
Yeah, actually, I got it at Amazon.
Right, and also, there's a website here. It's called Lake Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your lake?
It's not my lake.
This is not the lake that I rode my motorcycle by, right?
No. That was Spring Lake.
Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. You know, and Howard's already gone to be with the Lord. And listen, we cannot hold anybody accountable for what happens after we're gone.
Right.
You know, men tend to take things and do things. I don't even know. I'm not saying anything. I don't say anything. But I pretty much know how we ourselves can mess it up. You know, it's the second generation quite often does. By the fifth, it's like, ooh, dude, was that? So it is a LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. Or you can get it at, it's Hot Springs, Arkansas. Or you can get it probably at the ihop.org at the bookstore there.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or through the mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone. That's VFNTV.com.